Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
He seems like a good guy, Sierra. Like,
I know. I think I'm scared of like it all blowing up in my face again.
Yeah, and like that's. That's
so it,
like
makes that, it harder to like put yourself out there because it's like I was already embarrassed one time, you know?
It's been several years since me and Austin have spoken to each other, and I'm way past that. But I feel like on TV, you can't live it down. The guy that you date sticks with you for literally f***ing ever. People still come up to me. They call you an idiot. They call you dumb. All this shit you were already kind of thinking about yourself. So I'm trying not to overthink with Wes, but I'm still cautious because I don't want another f***ing deal.
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Today we're talking summer house. I'm in such a good place where I'm like genuinely, like I like every show that I recap, but like I'm like genuinely looking forward to every episode of every show that I recap recently. But you know, summer house is really the queen for me. She's really got my heart. So I'm excited to talk about her. Every time I get the screener in my inbox, I'm like, I think I like this little life. And it's so hard for me to not like talk about it and tweet about things, but we're here. We're here and talking about it now. If you have not heard the news, your girl has finally dropped some merch. You can find the link to that in the episode description. And yeah, we'll just move on because many of you have heard this several times before. Is it going to stop me? No. But I will be quicker about it. Anyway, let's move on to this episode of Summer House. But we're on episode 6, I think, right? So Sierra, we're just like hopping back in because we left off where Sierra and Lindsay, who is not Southern and is from Florida, were making a dinner for everybody. So Sierra's telling everybody, get out the pool and get ready for dinner. Get dressed. Get it. Sierra has really found her voice this season, and I mean that literally. Like, she spent the first several seconds of this episode being like, get downstairs! Eat my food before it gets cold! She's just very confident. She was not wrong when she said she is a slow burn. What season are we on with Sierra now? 5,000? But I think the flower is blooming, and I'm liking what I'm seeing. Meanwhile, Craig is checking out Jesse's blouse. They're mating in the corner of the kitchen. Where'd you get this? Oh, it's Mr. Porter. Oh, Craig tells me you should get used to people touching you. What's going on here? The sexual tension with the men, I haven't really spoken about it this season. It is so I love it. Every time somebody runs into the other one's arms and they're touching butts and cuddling, I'm like, give me more. I love it. I really do. Talk about your shirts. Talk about how much you're going to touch them. I like that. Anyway. So it's like, you know, light tension, right? Because Craig and Jesse are talking, but we haven't really broken the bubble about the fact that Jesse was kind of feeling Paige the first couple weeks. But don't worry, because Kyle's about to take care of that. Everybody sits down for dinner. Lindsay says, I want to do a cheers. And the cheers is to me and Sierra. And everybody waits for her to continue what she doesn't. And they're like, oh, okay. All right, then. And that's like Leo behavior. Isn't Lindsay a Leo? I think she might be. So Amanda asks everybody, what was y'all's favorite part of the week back in the city, right? I'll go first. It was because Kyle left. And everybody's like, cool. So Lindsay asked Jesse, how many dates did you have this week? And he's like, 3.5. Natural question for everybody being like, what was the half? And he says, well, I was just at home. We were making a home-cooked meal. And everybody says, Jesse, that's not half a date. That's like 1.5 dates, if anything. Which is probably why Jesse is this, like, very tall man who says that he wants, like, the white picket fence, the house, the kids, the wife, but he doesn't. Because the most intimate thing that you did this week, you consider half of a date. And yet you probably did some, like, random, dumb, you know, standard drinks, and then you banged the other three, and you consider those to be real dates. Chicks that you're probably never going to talk to again. But the most intimate one is just a half a date. So they're like, okay, let's ask this another question, another way. Out of those 3.5 dates, how many women were there? And he's like, 4. You went on 4 dates with 4 different women in a week, and then you went to the summer house. He's like, yeah, it's a full-time job. So then we're getting into the nitty-gritty. Paige asks him, outside of looks, what are the top 3 things that you're looking for in a woman if you really want this right girl, as you say you do? You know, like, I want her to be smart. I want her to care about things in the world that are going on, and I want her to be organized. And Paige goes, oh, organized? That's interesting. What do you mean by that? And he says, well, I'm good at big decisions. Like, I'm going to pick the place to go. Like, if we want to go out to eat, I'll pick the restaurant. But if she just wants to order for both of us, like, I'll do that. And Paige and Sierra are both like, I'm not into this. But you know what? I am. Kara is. Yeah, pick the place. And I get to pick what we eat? Both of us? So that I then get to pick 2 things that I want to eat. So then I can eat off of your plate. That's the goal, babe. And here's the thing. Nobody remembers. People never remember my dietary restrictions and the things that I don't like, but I always remember theirs. So this is just like a much better situation for me, but whatever, whatever. So then Kyle says, so let me ask you, Jesse, now that you know that Paige doesn't want to do the organizing, do you want to rethink how hard you were hitting on her those first couple weekends? And so Amanda looks over at him like, what the fuck? It's like a little bit tense. It's not really that deep. Like, we really could have turned this into a lighthearted moment depending on how Jesse responded, which he does say, like, all right, let's air it out. Like, was I hitting on Paige? I don't know. Craig doesn't give a shit. Like, he's getting into that country fried steak, taking out that great gravy. He's like, you know what? Paige is a pretty girl. I would hit on her too. And, you know, he says, I don't want to date somebody who wouldn't get hit on. So then Kyle says, because Amanda's, like, mean mugging him real hard. Well, I thought it was a funny way to break the ice because, you know, I asked Jesse who would be your type, and he was like, oh, you know, probably Paige. So then Amanda looks at him and goes, why would you do that? In a way that's, like, quiet but deadly, right? Amanda then says, the way I'm going to murder you in your sleep tonight, you have no idea what's coming for you. And now Kyle's like, I'm kidding. Can you relax? He's like, you're wound up like a ball of yarn. What is your problem? Dude, you've been giving me nonstop shit since we walked in the house, aside from that one kiss that you gave me. So now it's like mom and dad are fighting again, you know? And Paige the oldest child, the oldest daughter, does what she has to do. Just be like, well, I'm going to go upstairs to change. So then, now we can break up the tension and we can break up into some factions. So Amanda follows after her. Craig goes upstairs and they're all in that big ass closet, just like gossiping, like the three chatty patties they are. And then Craig says something that really shocks me as a Bravo fan. Craig Conover, the same Craig from Southern Charm, who has been at many a dinner party in which Thomas Ravenel is on whatever he could get his in his mouth and up his nose before the cameras caught him, sweating, ranting, and raving about whatever the fuck, threatening to beat up Shep at one point. Somehow, Craig is shocked from this dinner and says, wow, you guys will come up with any crazy thing to say at the dinner table. That's wild. That's wild. Amanda says in a confessional, clearly Kyle doesn't think before he speaks, and just like put some thought behind your words and just say those things and use those little ears, Kyle, and shut your big mouth. Imagine saying this about the person that you're married to. Like, I understand, like, a little shit talking, a little shade, full on annoyance with your partner, feeling like, ugh, you again, from time to time. I get that. But this seems to be a consistent thing with Amanda. Not this season. Like, this whole I'm going to openly be rude about Kyle in public to the house has been happening for at least 3 years now. And it just, and it, like, at what point do you maybe think about the things that you're saying and how you're speaking about your partner and think, is this what I want? You know, like, you're about to check Lindsay at the end of the episode, but, like, maybe Paige needs to check in with you again and be like, girl, is this you making all of your friends uncomfortable at the dinner table? And, like, because they don't even give a fuck at this point. Like, they don't care that everybody's, like, miserable and just wants to eat their, like, mashed potatoes and have a good time. They don't care. They'll just get to cussing and fussing right in front of you because they're like, this is just natural for them. Maybe let's take some stock of that, you know? And I don't mean this in a way of, like, I think Amanda is completely to blame. Like, no, she's not. I just mean, like, no, Amanda, like, you need to take stock of, like, do I want to have a partner that I speak about this way? Like, you know? Like, is this fun for me? This is fun for me. You feel me? Anyway, so now everybody's, like, you know, broken up, like I said, right? So Kyle's still downstairs. He's talking to Jesse. And Kyle asks Jesse, why do you think Amanda reacted the way she did? I, you know, I just feel like she's looking for reasons to give me a hard time. And Jesse goes, well, I mean, listen, it was a little outrageous to call me out in front of her boyfriend like that. But, like, I love you. It was funny. So meanwhile, Wes and Sierra, they're on their own little cuddle planet. Okay. Like, they're all in each other's tangled up legs, kissy kissy. They're in their own world, okay? They're flirting. She's roasting him because he wore a red and white shirt. And he's like, I don't think this is my color. And Sierra has to be like, you know, it's not really many white people's color. And honestly, then it makes it worse when you giggle because your face gets all red. So there's that. And then they're just back to smooching. Back downstairs, Kyle's just now in a room by himself. Like, that room that we rarely see people in. Sometimes they have a one-on-one conversation, but it's just a small off to the side room. Just sitting by himself, you know. Amanda comes down. She's not 1 ounce less upset with him. Goes, why did you say that at the dinner table? And he's like, whoa. Because I honestly think he didn't see her. Like, he didn't know she was downstairs. And then all of a sudden, he's like, whoa. So Amanda says, no, because, like, now Jesse's talking about how fucked up it is that you called him out, and I'm pissed. You look like an asshole. So Kyle's like, whoa, why are you so worked up? And she's like, because it's fucked up to do. And then she walks in the kitchen, and she's like, no, I'm mad. I'm so mad. I don't even want to go out right now. So Kyle basically goes, like, Kourtney Kardashian on Amanda. Like, there are people that are dying, girl. Like, there are more important things that are happening right now. I don't know why this is doing all this, right? And then I noticed that Amanda went for a glass of the Hampton water. And I'm not saying that Amanda doesn't have a right to feel embarrassed or annoyed, but I do think that there might be something in that bottle that's getting the ladies in this house just, like, a little turned. Because it's been happening to Lindsay the first couple Fridays, and Now it seems like it's found another, because Carl's not here, so now it seems like it's going back towards Amanda. Like, is this a haunted bottle of Hampton water that's turning these women out? I don't know. It's just something to look into. Just something to, like, whenever the two of them get into a fight, just see, you know, there seems to be a turn to a bottle, and I've noticed it. That's all I'm saying. I've also noticed, like, that happens to me, like, I don't want to ever come off as judgmental. Trust me, this is the reason why I can't drink cupcake wine, because I found out that, like, a glass and a half, and something happens to me, okay? Just gets a little weird. And it's, like, fine, but it's, like, a little aggressive. It's just, like, a little much. And so I decided, you know, me and Cupcake, we just can't go together. We just can't. Something happens. I don't know. Anyway, maybe I should try it out again. Circle back after a couple of years, see what happens. It's time to get weird. Spring's happening, you know. Just try some things out. Anyway, meanwhile, it seems like Craig and Paige call each other chicken. So Craig's like, chicken, Kyle and Amanda are screaming downstairs. She just went after him about the Jesse stuff. I love that they gossip with each other. Like, those are really goals. I really do enjoy seeing their relationship now. I've been very neutral on it, really up until this episode. And now I'm like, okay, I see it. I've always viewed their relationship as, like, a relationship of convenience that ends up working out. Like, by convenience, I mean, you know, it's just easy to date somebody from your network who gets it. And also, it's like, yeah, they're perfectly attracted to each other, sure. And at first, I'm like, yeah, it just seems like something that they're doing and trying on for fun. But now, as the years go on, there does seem to be, like, a fondness there and a love for each other that I didn't see before. So good for them. Do I think that they're really endgame? I don't know. I'm not really romantic in that way. Whatever. But I do see it now. I do see a little spark of chemistry between them. Between the two little chickens, if you will. So Paige says, on the surface level, it might just look like Amanda's just mad at Kyle because he says whatever the fuck and he thinks that it's funny. But there is a deeper level where she's mad about the things that he said a couple weeks ago to her, to Paige, about their relationship not being in a great place right now and not wanting to add kids to that. And she's like, I think she's just kind of fed up. So Amanda goes into the living room to cool off, like the girls. Sierra goes in there and holds her hand like a true nurse would, like an OBGYN nurse, like just like doing Lamaze, just like helping Amanda breathe through it, giving birth to this bullshit marriage that she's in. But she's like cooling down. Kyle's in their other room with all the guys. And he's like, listen, I just didn't think me saying that would be that big of a deal because there's been so much chitter chatter about it. And all the guys just laugh about Kyle saying chitter chatter. So Jesse says he doesn't feel bad with flirting with Paige because there was no malintent. She's cool. She's hot. And taken. I don't think that, well, I mean, do I think that, like, Jesse was trying to specifically be mean to Craig and, like, ruin their relationship? No. But I think you maybe can't say actively flirting with somebody who you know is in a relationship is not malintent. I don't, you know what I mean? But I don't think he was, like, trying to be an asshole. I think this is just what he does. And he told us as much. This is, like, his hobby is being Mr. Celia Girl. After that, the house goes out to some club. They're having a Christmas in July theme night. Everybody gets Santa hats. And Jesse starts talking to this woman, right? Her face is blurred out. And she asks him, can I come back to the house? And he kind of looks at her for a second and he goes, I don't know, how married are you? Obviously, he spotted a ring, right? More on that later. Kyle decides to take Lindsay aside at this bar for a quick chat, right? While they're walking away, Amanda goes, honestly, they should just marry each other. So Lindsay and Kyle sit at the bar. He asks the bartender if she can top off, give him a little gin floater in his can of Loverboy. And, like, no shade. That sounds annoying as shit as a bartender. Like, having to put a little shot. Like, he wants her to put a shot of something in that tiny little can, right? And not spill it. I don't have time for that. I'm just going to give you the shot and you just And I'll give you a glass if you really need it. You need a straw? Like, I'm not doing this with you, sir.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And, like, is that just, like, a free thing? I'm getting annoyed. It doesn't matter. But anyway, it's like, obviously he doesn't need this gin floater because he's already slurring. Like, he's Dorinda on her second and a half martini. Third and a half. Shout out to Jesse. Lindsay says, just, like, making small talk. You know, like, every time I have gin, like, whatever I have, whether I'm happy or sad, whatever emotion I'm feeling, like, it's that to the extreme. And so Kyle says, you know, I know we already talked last weekend, but the one thing that stuck out to me, Lindsay, is that you said I don't have your back. And I want to make sure I understand everybody's point of view. And I hear the pain in your voices as someone who's friends with both of you. I can sense from his perspective is like, look, Lindsay, ever since I got serious with Amanda, Carl's wanted a relationship. And he's told me that for years. And right now, he's in this tunnel vision mode with the wedding happening, and he's basically so committed to seeing this through that he's just pushing through some of the red flags. Well, not even a red flag, like some of the hardships. Like, and it was at this moment in real time that Kyle realized that he was like, uh-oh, I think maybe I am getting a little too comfortable, and I'm realizing that this is maybe more of a gossip conversation and not something that you tell the partner of the person you're talking about directly. So Lindsay goes, what do you mean? And Kyle's like, well, like, getting married, like, he wants it so bad. So Lindsay goes, what do you mean? Like, he's so committed to seeing it through? And Kyle goes, well, he wants, and Lindsay goes, he wants the marriage more than the actual relationship. Because that's basically what you're telling me right now. So Kyle's now a deer in headlights, or like a reindeer in headlights, right? Kyle says, what I'm saying is that, like, he wants to work through this so bad and, like, see it through. And what I want for you is to work through this stuff. So Lindsay confirms my theory about her completely. I've been saying for years, Lindsay exists in a different world than most people. Her world is exclusively black and white. And we, most of us, live in a world where there's a lot of gray. Lindsay thinks that because Carl is throwing these passive-aggressive jabs at her every time she says something like, eh, he's like, oh, have you been drinking? How many drinks have you had? Have you been drinking too much? Every time she asks a question. So she forgets the gray area of this man is sober and it's, like, really not cool to question his sobriety. But what she thinks is, like, well, if you're doing it to me, then I get to do it to you. That's it. Like, there's no gray area. It's just like 50-50. You do it, so do I. She doesn't care about all the other stuff in between that makes it not okay in this situation. Now, I told y'all the other day how I had this guy that I would date who would ask me the same things. Oh, every time I got upset and he didn't like it, he would be like, oh, have you been drinking? The difference is that I actually was not drinking and Lindsay very obviously is, but I can still understand how her feelings are getting hurt, where she feels like she's not allowed to have an emotion without getting accused of substance abuse. So Kyle says, so you're basically giving it back to him. And Lindsay's like, yeah, it's like, oh, okay. You want to yell at me for drinking when I'm not the one who has a problem? Then I'm going to start picking about what you're doing. That part is not fair. Like, we don't have to be like, well, I'm not the one with the problem. You know, it's like, well, you might not have a drinking problem, but your drinking has led to a lot of issues for you. And issues would be another word for problems. So, you know, there might be a few more words in between it, but we're still leading to, the drinking is still leading to problems. And that's an issue. So then Lindsay's like, you know what? I don't want to cry again. Like, I'm not even with this man right now. I'm not trying to get any deep conversations. I just want to have fun. So Kyle's like, cool. Backs off and they hug, right? After that, they all get home. Kyle helps himself to his pre-bedtime vitamins of Tostitos and gummy bears. And he's talking to Jesse about how mad Amanda was. And he was like, you know, I was just trying to put it all out there on Front Street. No big deal. Except Amanda was like, how can you do this, right? To me, question mark. So then he says, you know, there's a couple bedrooms down here. Maybe I should just pull a Carl and Lindsay. Uh-oh. Yeah. Back to that married woman that Jesse was talking to at the bar. He tells Kyle, oh, I just got a text from her. And it said, I'm trying to get my girls to come back to the house, to your house, because if I come alone, I'm going to fuck you. So then he tries to turn it into like, I'm just looking for a good girl out here. Why does this always happen to me? Probably because you gave her your number, knowing that she was married and definitely wanted to fuck you. And then she basically confirmed that. That's probably why. This might be why you're finding yourself in these foibles. Finding women who aren't available because this chick has a ring on her finger, sir. What's the surprise? After that, Jesse goes upstairs and Kyle just rambling to himself about how he ate too many Sour Patch Kids and he might throw up. And that's another closing of another night in the summer house. In the morning, Wes tells Sierra, because they slept together, not like they shared a bed. And he's like, I can't stop thinking about that dinner you made. Like, it was so fucking good. It made me horny. So they're like whispering sweet nothings in their gravy breath in the morning, right? And kissing. Cut to Kyle trying to hug Amanda in the morning. She just pushes him away. So then we go back to Sierra and Wes, our happy place in this house. Apparently they've got a Tres Amigas thing going with Jesse. So Jesse is like knocking on the door like, can I come in? He's just in his boxers about to scurry into bed with them. And they're like, hold on, close the door, Jesse. You know the rules. Like, this is your first time here. Like, why do the three of you guys need privacy? So Carl texts Lindsay, because he's not there yet, right? Saying, I'll be there at 11. So she goes into the Tres Amigas bedroom. And Jesse's like, oh, I'm going to FaceTime Carl. And Carl's like, oh, I'm 45 minutes away. But, you know, he's on speakerphone. And they're all talking to Carl. And then at some point during this conversation, Lindsay just, like, goes downstairs. So when Jesse hangs up, they all clock it. They're like, whoa. Did she not want to talk to Carl? Like, what's going on? And Jesse's like, well, I think maybe she was just hungry. Hungry for an argument with Carl. I really do need, like, even though I'm mostly Team Carl in this, and clearly Jesse is mostly Team Carl in this, I would like to see a scene where, like, Jesse connects with Lindsay, because I do think he is maybe, like, a little biased at this point. So Amanda then hops into bed with Craig and Paige, and Paige says, you know, I'm going to tell you guys something that I don't think I've ever said in my entire life. I actually feel really bad for Lindsay. And Amanda goes, no, I agree. Like, listen, Lindsay gets pretty nasty to Carl in arguments and she does say fucked up shit, but clearly she's hurting about the bigger picture. And then Paige says, listen, I like to throw blows. Like, oh, sorry. She goes, Lindsay likes to throw blows. And I get that. And Craig is just sitting on the other side of the bed, just laughing. And he goes, oh, you do? Do you, Paige? Do you understand that? And then they both start laughing. And that was the point where I'm like, I do like them as a couple. So Amanda says, listen, I think Lindsay's upset about the bigger, deeper rooted issues and her feeling like he's not motivated with work, her sex life, like stuff like that. And I want to ask her, what does she like about this relationship? And Craig says, it just feels like they're not a good fit. Meanwhile, Lindsay's downstairs telling Jesse, she wants their wedding hashtag to be from hubby to wifey. Are we still doing wedding hashtags? Anyway, Paige says, I guess it didn't matter, did it? Paige says, she needs to be like a friend to Lindsay in this moment and just be like, hey, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. And Amanda was like, yeah, you were that friend for me. You should do it for her. Craig says, at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt to talk to her. And Amanda tells her, listen, like, it's, we're like, we want to see this for you guys, but not like this. And then Paige says, I almost feel like she has to put on a certain persona for him. So Carl walks into the house and he says in a confessional, the reason I didn't come on Friday night is because of Lindsay and I's fighting. I'm all for anything that gets us into a better routine or rhythm. So I'm ready to get back to having fun, enjoying our weekends. So then he tells the house that his big surprise is that he got go-karts for them and a little inflatable racetrack that's like going up in the yard as we speak. So Lindsay notices that Carl's actually in a good mood for once. And again, like, their best case scenario in their relationship is, let's just try to have a good summer because who knows where we'll be next year. Like, we could have a kid or whatever. And I understand that to a certain extent. Like, I get it. You have a kid, your life is going to completely change. What we're really saying is we might not be on the show next year. So, like, let's make it count, right? But I also just think, like, if it seems like every week they're just hinging Carl and Lindsay on something. They're hinging on, we have to make it right for this weekend because we have to have a good weekend because we have to have a good summer because what about next summer? Like, it just seems like a lot of pressure. I don't know how you can have fun under those conditions when it's like forced fun, you know? It's like a Liz Lemon party. The Liz Lemon party is mandatory, you know? It's like, are we having fun? Or are we just talking about it? It kind of seems like Amanda and Kyle have adopted the same, like, let's just forget about it attitude so we don't fight. And it really just means that Kyle's not reacting to Amanda throwing shots at him any opportunity that she can. So Sierra and Craig decide to do, like, a liquor store run before the party. And Sierra asks him in the car, like, oh, how's the apartment hunt going with Paige? And he says, you know, we're only now getting to the point where we're having the conversations that you need to have before you get married. So sometimes I do feel insecure and I wonder, like, if we're on the same page. But, you know, then Paige will tell me I'm stupid and to get over it. So then Craig tells Sierra, kind of took me a second, like, seeing you cuddling with West to adjust to that. Like, you being flirty and fun and... But, it, like, it's nice to see, and, like, I kind of think you have a thing for goobers. And she's like, yeah, I do. So Sierra tells Craig, I'm really scared to put myself out there because I was already embarrassed one time. So then she tells us in a confessional. It's been several years since she and Austin have even spoken to each other, and she's way past that whole situation. But being on TV, you can't live it down. The guy you date sticks with you for literally forever. People still come up to her and call her an idiot, dumb, all the things that she was already thinking herself. So she's trying not to overthink the situation with Wes, but she's also still cautious because she doesn't want another dude embarrassing her. Totally get it, girl, because I was on this podcast every week clowning you left, right, up, down, center. And I was right to do it. I wouldn't take it back for one moment. I said if what I said... But now I get what you're saying, too. Like, and I'm glad that she gets it, because it didn't seem like she did. At least not for the first year. Like, it seemed like it took the makeout with Lindsay at the side of the house for her to get it. And that's tough. That's tough. But we're here. I think we're here, and I'm happy for her with that. So after that, Craig tells Sierra, listen, I could have told you what would have happened with Austin. He says, with the last one, but we didn't know each other like we do now. And then he pulls out one of his proverbs that he must bookmark from Khloe Kardashian's Instagram stories. But he tells Sierra, we all have scars and sometimes they fade, but there's still some scar tissue there. And you want to show that to people. Back at the house, Kyle is using this opportunity while Sierra's gone to tell Wes that he's kind of surprised about their relationship. Because she's kind of a slow burn, and then he spills all the tea about Austin. Wes says he knows nothing about that. Do we believe that? Do we believe that people are just raw-dogging coming on a show and not watching anything and knowing any of the lore whatsoever? Even, like, you don't have, like, one of your homegirls, like, give you a little download on what's going on? Like, nothing? That's wild. And maybe that's why he's such a good cast member. Like, he's really just running on vibes and fumes. So Kyle tells Wes about, like, how Sierra and Austin were a thing, but then Lindsay invited Austin to the house a couple years ago, and they made out in front of everybody, and it caused a lot of chaos, and Sierra felt really disrespected, and Wes is like, wow, damn, that's crazy. So then everybody gets dressed for this, like, it's like a racing-themed party. Something about Kyle Cook and the Americana theme just really is so befitting of him. Like, he's truly the only white man that I feel comfortable celebrating the 4th of July. Like, the only one.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Like, even historically, including the ones who were there at the first one and the second. He's like Cowboy Kyle, Cowboy Cook, right? Sierra has always also been great at sticking to a theme and, like, really going for it, like, the most interesting and inventive ways. So why does she come down the stairs dressed like one of those inflatable men that they have outside of a used car dealership? That really cracked me up. That really, really cracked me up. Amanda looks over at Kyle and says, it looks like we hired him to be the entertainment for this party. So she meets Paige outside at their, you know, they've got their little lair, their bed bug lair. They got to sit down, power up before everybody shows up to this party. So she's telling Paige, what she was annoyed with Kyle about is that he thinks he's funny and he's not. You see what I mean? Like, hear this. Like, is this the type of relationship where you're thinking, I'm saying, I'm so annoyed with my partner because he thinks he's funny and he isn't? Is this what you want to be saying about your partner in general? Like, let's really unpack that. Paige says, I like to tell Craig every day he's not funny, just to humble him. That's the relationship I want. Humble him in the fun way, not in the way Amanda's doing. This is not fun. This is mean mommy. Paige is like sexy mean mommy. Like, Craig is begging Paige every 5 minutes of this party, can we just please go upstairs? Please, can I go in the bathroom with you? Can we go take a shower real quick? Like, he wants to get in with her so bad. So whatever she's doing, working, was working. You feel me? So anyway, Paige tells a story, because, again, we're circling back to, are you going to let Craig kick in some ducats on this rent, right? She says, I just don't want a boyfriend to hold anything over me. And she tells a story in a confessional. And honestly, like, I don't, my instinct, unfortunately, was telling me that this was Perry. She said she gave no hints. But I think it may have been that pizza man. I honestly do. But she says in a confessional that at one point she had gone on a vacation with an ex. They had gone to California for the weekend. She wanted to change the flight to an earlier flight. And he told her, when you pay for the flight, you can control what time we leave. And she was like, at that point, I'm never, ever going to put myself in a position where if I want to go, I can't go. And if I want to leave, I can't leave. Never happening again. So then the conversation switches to how Amanda and Kyle did not discuss finances in the beginning of their relationship. And Amanda says Kyle had a little bit of money, but he was gambling a lot on Loverboy. And so she had her, like, true 9-to-5 job, was also working part-time at Loverboy, seemingly for free, until she went to work full-time for him. And how She's like the Rodney Dangerfield of Loverboy. Like, she gets no respect for her contribution. She's the one who came up with the limoncello flavor. Apparently, that's been their biggest hit. And Paige tells her, yeah, like, I don't think that comes up enough. I don't think Kyle gives you enough credit. So then she says in a confessional that Kyle thought her joining Loverboy was like a great thing. They talked about it before she made the leap, thought it would be a great move, but maybe they were wrong. But like, let's talk about that. Do you truly feel underappreciated at Loverboy? Like, what's going on here? Because like, we're only hearing it from her. Well, yeah, I guess she did say that, didn't she? She did say he doesn't respect the fact that I work. Yeah, she did say that. After that, the guys go and do a little bice racetrack that Carl bought. Wes is about to win. They're like looping and looping. Kyle's not in the race. He's just like watching. But he decides to step over, get in the race, and decides to like push Wes over while he's on the bike. Even though Wes is being like, don't, please don't do this. And he falls over. Wes is wearing like flame sunglasses. Like, Wes is giving Guy Fieri realness at that point. But he falls over, and because they're like flame-cut frames, he falls, and the glasses dig into his, like, the bridge of his nose, so now he's just bleeding, like, leaking, right? And I could tell he was doing everything to keep it tight in front of Sierra, and, like, you could tell he was in real pain, but he was like, just don't say anything. Just walk there. Just walk over to that medic station and just keep it cool. Don't cry. Please don't cry. They're like having this cute little moment. Like, she's nurse. The medic is helping. She's wiping the blood off his mouth, being like, oh, you're okay, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're making it a little cute moment. She's sitting in his lap until he gets released from the medic. And they're just like adorable, right? Afterwards, Wes tells Sierra, by the way, when you were gone, Kyle was telling me all about your shit with Austin. And Sierra's like, yeah, listen, I wouldn't call that a relationship so much as like a massive mistake situationship. And I was really not a good judge of character on that. I don't regret what I did because you live and you learn. But at the same time, I think if I could go back, then I would have been a little bit more cautious. So Wes is just taking all this in. He's not really saying much. But then he says in a confessional, hearing about Sierra's past is important because he cares about her. Like, he's not really trying to get the tea. He just cares about her feelings. And how anytime somebody can be vulnerable, whether it's good or bad stuff, like, that's all he needs to want to dive in with her more. I mean, basement flooded. Wes Wilson, the man that you are. I'm like, you know, I don't like to, like, big up men, you know, but he's really making it difficult for me. He's really pushing it, okay? After that, Craig checks in with Paige again, and I'm just like, loving Craig's outfit because he's just like a greasy auto repair guy. But if the auto repair guy exists in the Lifetime Movie Network universe, like, it's just a little too pretty. But he asked Paige what Amanda and she were talking about, right? And Paige is like, oh, you know, again, I still don't want to take money from you. And he says, you know, I'm just trying to make sure we have a nice apartment, you know? But then she's like, you know, I feel like you pay for your mortgage, and if you were to pay for my apartment too, even a little bit, then I don't really have anything of my own. And Craig's like, no, I get that, but like, you know, that's not what I'm trying to say, but like, I get what you're saying, right? And then Paige says, I also wonder if you feel like the only way I can really commit to you is if you contribute money to me and pay some of the rent every month. Like, do you feel that way? And then Craig's like, no, I don't know. Paige then says, listen, I don't care if everybody else thinks we're going slow because we're having the conversations that most people get divorced over now. And then Paige says in a confessional, if I were to offer to pay half of Craig's mortgage, you'd be like, of course not. But the roles are reversed. So now people are like, oh, she doesn't want to take money from him. Does she even love him? But I don't need his money. Why don't you put that money towards something else? Like, put it towards an engagement ring. So at the end of the episode, I loved this because we have seen very rare moments of Amanda, Paige, and Lindsay getting along. This is a threesome that's really never happened. or even two, you know, even either individual relationships with Amanda and Paige and Lindsay. Also hasn't happened. And here we are, besties. It was a perfect situation because Gabby's gone and Danielle's gone. And Lindsay just dropped this bomb about how she and Carl aren't fucking. So now they're going to, this was brilliant. Now they're basically being like, oh, we're going to, they're railing her in a little bit, right? So the guys are doing a photo shoot by this prop car that Carl got. And so they're like, Lindsay, come here. Lindsay, how have you been today? Well, it's not Friday. It must be better, right? Lindsay's like, yeah, Fridays really aren't our day, but it's been mostly good. And then the way she describes why it was mostly good is because they haven't really talked. Like, Carl just got there and they just hit the ground running with the party planning. So then she says, you know what? Paige says to her, you know, I just really want to say thank you for being so honest in your room. And I don't want you to feel like we don't give a shit that you said some pretty intense things to us. But Lindsay's like, what did I say that was intense? Was it that intense? Blindsided? Okay. So Paige goes, you're getting married in 3 months and you don't have sex. So yeah. So Amanda tells Lindsay, you were just so vulnerable with us. And Paige says, honestly, that's how it should be with us. And so Lindsay tells him, you know, last summer, what was going on with me, like, I was really uncomfortable. There was so much tension. All these relationships were different. And now all these relationships that she's been in are different, right? I've never been in a relationship where there have been sex problems, or I've never dated a sober person. And now she's primed to reveal shit. So Amanda's like, oh, do you think that maybe you guys moved a little faster than you should have, or are you still thinking that was the right thing? And so Lindsay says, honestly, I think that he thought we would get into a relationship and I was going to change. And Paige goes, to what though? Amanda says in a confessional, I don't think Carl thought she was going to change for him. I think he thought because we're in love and we're going to get married, maybe Lindsay would have a little bit more respect for him or treat him differently than she does everybody else. I just feel like I'm the prophetess of Summer House. Everything I say just comes up weeks later. Like, yeah, exactly. To Carl's point, what did you think was going to change by putting a ring on it? You were in that relationship with her. Like, y'all were dating for mostly a year before that, and things still didn't change. So why did you think that, like, a commitment was going to change a person and who they are at their core and their behavior that they've been engaging in consistently for years? Like, y'all can be judgmental of Lindsay all you want, but Lindsay Hubbard has been Lindsay Hubbard this whole time. Take her or leave her. She has been herself. And at some point, you got to realize and take responsibility for yourself and be like, this person is who they are. Do I like this or not? Because it's not going to change. Meanwhile, on the other side, the guys are still standing by the car, smoking cigars and, like, just really looking like an Abercrombie photo shoot. Solly Jesse Raphael is back in business. He put on his red frame glasses and tells Carl, hey, buddy, we missed you last night. And Carl's like, yeah, listen, the last two Fridays with Lindsay haven't been great. I kind of felt like I was doing my best, but I learned some things in couples therapy, and I'm willing to, like, you know, look at going into anger management and trying other things. And Jesse goes, do you think you're angry? Because you don't really seem like an angry guy. Craig tells him, it sounds like you're doing a lot of concessions. And I'm not saying she isn't, but, like, you never want to get to a point where you're like, fuck, I'm doing a lot. And Kyle says, yeah, that leads to resentment, and that will destroy your relationship. Kyle, I think maybe you should have heard that conversation Amanda and Paige were having earlier, because, to quote Ariana Maddox, you in danger, girl. So, back to the girls. Paige says, you know, I've never said these words before, but in this situation, Lindsay, I'm very much on your side. You two will get in a fight And everybody will check in on Carl. And Lindsay's like, yeah, because I'm the one who's more vocal and I'm the out there one. I'm the one to blame. So Carl's telling the other guys, like, listen, we're like every other couple who fights, but at what point is it not healthy? And Craig says, has there been talk about the wedding being pushed back? Or is that not a thing? Carl says that in one of their first fights about the wedding, he was like, hey, why don't we move it to January? And how she got upset. And I will say the way he delivered it, I was like, okay, if this is how you said it to her, then Lindsay's absolutely fucking right. Like, I think that Carl's main fighting, his weapon is just being like a passive aggressive dick. So like, he won't yell. He'll just be like, hey, why don't we just do that? You know, like, and he'll say things that he knows incite Lindsay. And then she gets incited and activated. And then, you know, like she does, like she said, like I'm louder, more vocal. And then I end up being like the one who doesn't need to be checked in on. So then Jesse tells Carl, I feel like it's not our place to give you advice because you're a grown man. I'm just now seeing the situation for the first time. But what we're getting at is it feels very soon to be getting married, given the complications. And he should know, he just officiated a wedding, you know. So the episode ends with Lindsay saying to the girls, there are these miniature flags, but they're not red enough for me to leave. And maybe that's naive of me. And Paige says, I will say, because I said this to Amanda the month before she got married, are you positive? Because it is way easier to call off or postpone a wedding than it is to get divorced 2 months later, which is exactly what she needed to realize when he broke up with her. Thank you, Paige. Not that it helped, but thank you for at least asking it on camera. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.